all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's hot outside, 92 degrees with the heat index at 96. Dew point is 68. Humidity is 46%. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 12 miles an hour, already gusting up to 18 miles an hour. So you guys get ready. You know, I don't know. I know you've been paying attention to the weather. They put a little bit more rain in the forecast this weekend. What else? It's rodeo weekend. It's supposed to rain sometimes. It's going to rain because you know why? I cut some hay down yesterday, and I'm going to cut some more down today. So you guys thank me if you get a rain. We got lots to talk about today. I got a special guest on here, Brian Painter, today. He is the communications director for the State Agriculture Conservation Commission. So he'll be on here in my second, third segments. But a few things before we get to him. Auction markets across the country seen some sizzling prices last week as the demand was called moderate to good for all weights and steers of heifers. Agriculture Marketing Service reporters called last week's market steady to $3 higher, with some calf markets in the Northern Plains reported $5 to $7 higher. AMS noted extreme heat across the Midwest and Plains states with high humidity was also a factor. Most yearling operators like to have their yearlings sold by Labor Day as the tail end of the calf feds from the previous year are coming out in the feed yards. Springborn bawling calves are in the mix of the feeder supply from the North Plains to the Southeast, and currently willing buyers are there to fill orders. In the upcoming weeks, farmers in the Midwest will not want to take the time to straighten up some bawling calves at large temperature swings when no doubts will be on the horizon, and it is. Auction receipts total $159,800 last week, compared to $144,600 to the previous week and $156,200 last year. Cash-fed cattle reached their highest price of the year last week at $125.86, but packers have given up precious little of their leverage. Nearly half the cattle bought on negotiated basis last week were bought with time, a clear indication packers will enter September with adequate inventory. Corn and soybean futures were slightly lower in overnight trading on concerns about export delays from Hurricane Ida hit major shipping ports along the Gulf Coast. Much of Louisiana is still without power, and grain shippers on the Gulf reported damage to the export terminals. Shipping facilities along the Gulf Coast account for almost 60% of the U.S. agriculture shipments. Cargill said that two of their terminals were damaged, according to their report. Steel sales to overseas buyers have been solid in recent weeks. Exporters on Monday reported sales of 256,000 metric tons of soybeans to China, and that was in this marketing year that starts September 1st, reported the USDA. Accumulated exports of corn since the start of the marketing year on September 1st now stands at 66.2 million metric tons, up 57% from the same time last year. Soybean shipments since the beginning of September are almost 60 million metric tons, up 40% from last year. The USDA will release its weekly export report, sales reports this morning. If export facilities are shuttered for some time for repairs, however, this could cause overseas buyers to look elsewhere for ag products. Corn futures for December lost a penny and three quarters to 5.21 a bushel overnight. Soybean futures dropped a penny and a half also. Oklahoma cash markets, I looked up a while ago, hard red winter wheat was at $6.66 a bushel, Corn was at $5.20 a bushel, up 4 cents. Milo's at $5.35 a bushel, up 2 cents. And soybeans is $12.69 unchanged. Well, I got a fun fact for you guys that some of you might know out there and some of you might not know. In the Future Farmers of America, there is 8,630 chapters in 50 states, including Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. 760,000 members, ages from 12 to 21. And tomorrow I will have an FFA student in here from Merritt, Jancy Ripto. She'll be updating us on the livestock reports tomorrow. Livestock show reports tomorrow. So anyway, I didn't realize there was that many chapters in the United States. That's a big load of chapters, to be honest with you. But then anyway, our hot weather is going to continue in Oklahoma, also Texas and Louisiana. It's going to be hot again in parts of eastern Oklahoma, east Texas, and northwestern Louisiana, according to the National Weather Service. In eastern Oklahoma, heat indexes today will range from 105 to 108, and it's noon now, and ours already at 96, so I'm pretty sure we're going to hit that triple digit today. A heat advisory is in effect from noon to 7 p.m. in eastern Oklahoma. The combination of hot temperatures and high humidity will combine to create a dangerous situation in which heat illness are possible. In parts of Louisiana that are recovering from Hurricane Ida, which made landfall Sunday, heat indexes are expected to hit 110. And that's going to be tough on those guys down there trying to get power back up. And they're still looking for some people down there. That one levee broke down there around that one township, and they had to rescue 200 or 300 people, if I remember that article right. Farther north in the eastern Nebraska and western Iowa, showers expected to develop late today and tonight ahead of a cold front that will move through the Missouri Valley. Severe weather is possible in parts of eastern Nebraska. Late this afternoon, winds will be strong enough to damage crops, trees, and structures, according to the National Weather Service. The report that I read on this morning is that we might, over there where the hurricane hit, it went south of the Mississippi Delta, where a big part of the United States cotton is grown. So there was not a whole lot of damage, thank goodness, to the cotton crop over there. Well, when I get back from the break, I'm going to have Brian Painter on here from the Oklahoma Commission, Soil Conservation Commission. And when we come back, we're going to talk with him for a little bit. And don't go nowhere, because you're going to enjoy this conversation that I'm going to have with him. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
We truly are a family at First National Bank. When you have a family member that's sick, everyone knows. When something's happened within your family, when you have celebrations, we truly are a family at First National Bank and Trust. We're very proud of the institution that we work for. We're very proud of each other. It is like a family. We call it our bank family. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the show. I got a text during the commercials that from one of our cotton farmers, and it's true. He says, we need the hot weather to help the cotton finish out. We are around 10 to 15 days behind because we didn't receive any heat units this summer. As you guys remember, this has been a pretty cool summer this year, and I noticed on a report that down there in like Alabama and Georgia and Louisiana and Mississippi, the bowls are only around 20 to 25% open right now. So I think everybody in the country is a little bit far behind on their cotton. But hey, Spencer, we got some heat here the next week or 10 days, so get ready for it, buddy. And so everybody's suffering because of heat, but the cotton needs it, so it's a give deal there. But I have on the line with me right now is Brian Painter. He is a communications director for the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. Welcome, sir.
Welcome. I sure appreciate it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity, Jimmy.
Oh, no. I appreciate you coming on the show, and we got a lot to cover in the next couple of segments, and I get to see you next week sometime. We got a deal that we're going together with, but right now, when you called this morning, I didn't put two and two together, and then I remembered some of your articles in the Oklahoman, and it all come together, and here you are. You're on my show. I feel very blessed.
Well, great to be here.
Well, first of all, will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm originally from Enid, Oklahoma, and then went to college at Oklahoma State, and after that went out and worked in newspaper at the Amarillo Globe News, and then in 91 came to the Oklahoman and worked for the Oklahoman till 2015 in the Department of Ag, and then came here to the Conservation Commission in 2019, and just been blessed to be out in rural Oklahoma a lot, and people have been great to me, and I just love being there.
Well, I have not met you personally, but I've talked to you quite a bit, and I've seen some of your articles, and you're a genuine, true Oklahoman, and you're a nice gentleman to talk with and deal with, and so you're a good man. So what is your main job at the Conservation Commission?
So at the Conservation Commission, I am the communications director, and so that's everything from press releases to working with the media such as yourself to social media. We just have it rolled out a new website look. We provide stories to magazines such as Oklahoma Farm and Ranch. We put out a newsletter. So a lot of, just anything that's communications and outreach. And we have five different divisions, so I get to work with each of those. And also within RCS and Stillwater.
So who's your boss there at the commission?
That would be Trey Lamb is our executive director, and he'll be out there with us on Tuesday when we come out to Upper Elk Creek to the tour that we're doing out there, and we're looking forward to that.
Okay, good. I've heard a lot of good stuff about Trey, and I got the privilege of talking with Blaine Arthur's Madam Secretary last week, and she's a hoot. I'm just telling you, I love her. She's down to earth. She's just a normal Oklahoma person, whether it's male or female. She just as normal as they get, and she took me pretty good because sometimes I don't come across very good. So anyway, but she's good. But you was telling me of a story because you used to cover a lot of rodeos. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I covered, no matter what else I covered for newspapers, I covered for 16 seasons, I covered rodeos, mainly professional rodeo. And, we were talking about, I went back and looked up the date, and you of course, had the year right, 1992, and it was September 5th, and I remember being back behind the chutes interviewing a cowboy before the rodeo started about 10 minutes before, and grand entry, they were all lined up and ready to go, and the announcer comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, if you look to the north, and just north of the arena there at Elk City was the most perfect-looking funnel cloud you could imagine. And I think it was about 4 miles to the north. And fortunately, it didn't ever drop down. But as soon as everybody, you know, everybody left, and then when they came back, then we got the notification that there was hail coming, and people left again, and it was probably hailed for 10, 15 minutes straight, that smaller hail. And but they went on with the rodeo that night, and it was amazing. I mean, everything bucked, just incredible.
I'm sure after being hailed on, they were fired up.
They were, yeah. Tom Reeves, who was a, you know, great NFR saddle bronc rider,
yeah.
He had a horse of Butler's called Black Crude, and he was 81 points. And then in the bull riding, there was an 88-point ride. So it was pretty impressive watching.
Well, you, how many times did you come to our great rodeo champions here at Elk City?
I seldom miss, so I would say at least a dozen, and that was while I was covering rodeo. I've even come in years since then. I came out in 2013, Jimmy, when I was just a general news columnist with the Oklahoman, and I came out, if you'll remember, they did the unveiling of the statue Commotion out there in front of the National Route 66 Museum Complex, and I'd seen that bareback horse many, many times, and so I come out and did a story on that, and then come back and watch the rodeo a couple days later, and in fact, kind of plan on coming out this weekend. It's just one of the most outstanding rodeos you'll ever see.
Yeah, it's a great rodeo. I had Larry McConnell and Randy Hargis on here yesterday, and we were talking about the timing and the list of events that are going on this weekend, because the rodeo starts tomorrow night, and then we have the parade Saturday morning. They finally moved it back to the morning instead of right in the heat of the afternoon, which is a great deal, and everybody's celebrating it. Actually, Drew Cobb, one of our radio host here at the studio, he does the Back Roads show in the afternoon. Him and I are going to be covering it on the radio Saturday, so this will be my first live event. So I don't know, I'm not nervous, but I'm just hoping I don't mess it up. So
oh, you'll do great.
Yeah, they'll do good. And then what so you did the deal on Commotion, and how was that? You got to talk to I'm sure you interviewed Benny and Rhett. I bet that was quite an interview.
Yeah, you know, I've known, I grew up, like I said, in Enid, and so the Butlers, they had that rodeo when I was a little kid in Enid, and so and then once I got to covering rodeo, the Butlers are really, you know, they really took me in, really answered a lot of questions for me, helped me in any way they could, and so it was great coming out there for that, and that was a lot of fun. In fact, you know, that day, Rhett gave me the, I'll read you just real quick the quote that
you got all Rhett the time in the world, just go ahead.
He gave me this quote about Commotion. He said, when he was in the chute, you could just feel the intensity building. I was just a kid, and when he left that chute, he kicked back, and I had a hoof on either side of my head. After that, I learned to duck.
Yeah, I bet he did, because a lot of people that are not into the rodeo stuff, you know, they go to one a year, but, you know, they don't follow it or pay. They don't know how great that horse was, and still great today.
Oh, it was an amazing horse, you know, and he had an air about him, you know, he was a very, very proud horse. We went out even that day after went and looked at the statue, we went out to Benny and them's place, and he was in the pen out there, you know, and he was still walking around, you know, like he owned the place, And a lot of you will remember Eric Mouton, who went to school at Southwestern Oklahoma State and then went on to win the bareback riding world title. I called Eric on that story and asked him about commotion, and he said when you crawled on him in the chute and you sat down, you could feel his muscles twitching, and you just knew this isn't a kid pony, and, and he definitely wasn't that.
No, that I did junior rodeo bull riding back in the 70s when I was a kid, back in the day, and my brother-in-law who owned the him and my sister owned the Bull Chute Western store in Watonga, and my brother-in-law Larry, he was a he was big on rodeo. I mean, he loved rodeo. I mean, he knew Benny and all those guys. But him and a former friend of his up there at Watonga put on a junior rodeo up there, and he called me, said, "Come up for the weekend and ride this bull." And I was okay, so I went up there, and I wasn't experienced by no means, don't get me wrong, but if my brother-in-law told me I was going to do it, I was going to do it. So he helped me get all ready and stuff, and just as I was getting ready to open the gate, the announcer went, "Here's a kid from Elk City, Oklahoma, that thinks he's going to ride this bull. This is the first time it's been ridden ever. It's green out of the pasture," and I landed right on my butt. and I sat there and looked at that bull. I mean, there was no way I was riding that. But I do remember when I was sitting on that bull in that chute, there's something about an animal when you get on them that's in a rodeo that you know, this is like, this is going to be good or this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And mine was bad.
Yeah. Those animals are amazing. And about the time I was starting out in 1985 is when Tuff and Cody and Lane were really going, and in fact, the first time I ever met those three guys was in Benny's tack trailer at Enid, and they were in there changing clothes and interviewed them in there, and you know, Cody Lambert gave me the quote one time. He said, no bull ever cared what buckle I was wearing.
Nope. Yep, that's a true story. Well, I was reading your article here when you was talking to Benny about commotion, and he said commotion's father was a racehorse and his mother was a rodeo saddle bronc horse. You couldn't help but get pumped up when he turned to buck, and he said you knew he was going to do something special every time. The horse never failed to buck. He never had a bad trip. Even on his worst day, they earned money on him.
Yep.
That was quite a horse. But well, if you still have a few minutes, I need to recognize some of my sponsors, and we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 30th. 1,460 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 430 brought 185. 10 at 581 brought 157. 21 at 701 brought 164.50. 6 at 776 brought 153. 60 at 845 brought 153.75. 10 head of heifers at 425 brought 155. 12 at 516 brought 146. 6 at 619 brought 133. 44 at 733 brought 149. 6 at 1071 brought 119. Butcher cows were 22 to 75. Bred cows 700 to 1450. Butcher bulls brought 65 to 100. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. and we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, welcome back. And on today's show with me right now is Brian Painter. And we are live on Facebook. And I don't have your picture up there, so it's just your voice that's on Facebook. So if you got anything to hide, you're good to go right now. Makeup, if you need to do. That's what Lacey Swope, I have her basically on every Tuesday. She said what she likes about my show. She doesn't have to do her hair. She doesn't have to do makeup. She doesn't have to dress up. So she's good to go.
So, well, you know, Jimmy, I told them one time, they said that some people, you know, are TV, some have a face for radio, and I said I wasn't even that good. I was in newspaper.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I hear that all the time. Man, you got the perfect face for radio. I said, yep, that's me. And I don't even pay no attention to that Facebook camera. I probably hope nobody catches me picking my nose or something. But anyways, I forget it's on, to be honest with you. Well, you covered a lot of rodeos out here at Elk City, and you covered the national finals no telling how many times and stuff. What was one of the most memorable events you've ever covered?
Well, you know,
besides the tornado.
I would first say that, you know, I loved covering rodeos, even though I covered rodeos out of state, like Houston and Colorado Springs and those. I loved covering rodeos in Oklahoma. I mean, Elk City, Guymon, Woodward, Lawton, Hinton, Ada, Ardmore, Ponca City, you know, all really great rodeos, and several others, and really great people. The rodeos that, you know, the moments that stood out a lot of times were when you would come down to that 10th go in Vegas, because you knew everything. You knew all those rodeos that they'd traveled to, all those miles, were coming down to, at that time, Sunday afternoon at Thomas and Mack. And then also, I always liked covering the fifth round of the Tyne Event Championship at the Lazy, because it was the same thing. I mean, just one slip and
you were out of the money.
$100,000 went through your hand, you know, and so I saw a guy one time, you know, Ole Smith comes into the short go and onto the final head at 25 head, and he's sitting third, the other two bobble, and suddenly he's doing the champions interview. And so it was just, things could happen that quick. But
you got a good memory on you.
A lot of places.
Yeah, you got a heck of a memory. You must be a journalist.
I can't remember my own Social Security number, Jimmy, so it's selective, I think.
Well, the only reason why I rephrase that is because of the military. If you didn't know that thing forward and backwards, they'd make you do 20 push-ups, and I got tired of that, so I learned my Social Security number pretty quick. But the National Finals Rodeo, you know, we were talking yesterday, when they had it at Oklahoma City, and it was an awesome event at Oklahoma City, and everybody understands, you know, we hated it, we lost it here, but, you know, Vegas is the perfect place for it. But there's I could just remember back in the 70s and even in the 80s, the well-known rodeo event people that have come through here riding in the Rodeo of Champions at Elk City, because this was one of, you know, there are just a few rodeos left before the national finals. And I mean, we had some big name people out here riding in the rodeo, and we still have some big name people, but it just seemed like back in the 70s and 80s when the event was at Oklahoma City, when they started rattling off people and bull riding and bareback and saddle bronc and even barrel racing, he was like, wow, they're here, you know. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's still that way today. You still have a lot of great cowboys and cowgirls that come to Elk City. And back then when I was covering it, it was like you said, it was getting toward the end of the season. Back then, Cow Palace was the last big one of the year, and it was right around Halloween weekend. And but even the year that we were talking about, Jimmy, 1992, when I got to looking at that, the bronc riding that year was won by one of the best guys you'll ever meet in this world, Craig Latham, on one of Benny and them's horses, Good Times. And then Doug Clark, who won the all-around at Cheyenne before, he won the Calf Roping, and then one of the greatest barrel racers ever, Charmaine Rodman, won the barrels at Elk City.
Yeah, she was super good. You know, she was... There were them some good names you rattled off there. See, I didn't remember those names, but, you know, it just didn't stick in my mind there. We went to that rodeo because that was the year after we got back from the Desert Storm, and I remember that. Well, the tornado put it in your memory. So, I mean, it just – what year was that, 92? I won't hesitate, but there's – but so in your adventures at the Conservation Commission so far, what – what have you learned about conservation since you went to work there?
Well, what's so outstanding is, you know, I get to go out and look at all the different aspects. I get to go to Jimmy Emmons' place and learn about soil health. You know, I get to go to flood control dams, and you know, we lead the nation with 2,107 flood control dams. I get to see why they are so important, not only for the protection of land, but the protection of people. I get to go to Eastern Oklahoma and the Abandoned Mine Land Program and see what it's done, both with strip mines and, you know, underground coal mines. What water quality's done is just incredible in terms of, you know, just cleaning up streams and making sure that we have great water quality throughout. They do testing of streams all throughout the state. And so I really get to see all those different aspects. And for me, life's kind of continuing education. I just love soaking that up every day.
Yeah, it's you get to see a lot more than like just the individuals out here. I mean, we all know what's going on out here, but you get, because Eastern Oklahoma gets at least twice as much, if not three times more rain than we get. So, you know, there's a lot going on over there as far as flood control.
Yes.
But I was telling last week, and you'd heard it through Monty Tucker, that, you know, my dad, he was born in 1908, but he grew up, he was up around Moorwood, but he was telling, I can remember this story, he was telling me that over there on the South Canadian River Bridge, over there south Camargo, between Camargo and Leedy, you know, there used to be a guy there that, you know, he, whether he was in a Model T or on a wagon with horses, that you he'd pull you across for quarter or nickel, whatever it was. And then he said he remembered that flood hitting, I believe it was in the 30s, there between Hammond and Moorwood. There was the semis, the trucks and stuff that was going across Quartermaster Creek then, before there was a bridge and the flood control and all that. And that flash flood come through there, and there was, I don't know if there was any loss of life, but I know there was a lot of loss of vehicles and whatever was on those vehicles. So it was pretty awesome. And then I think the first flood control dam that was built,
Cloud Creek.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Is one of them. And then plus the shelter belts they were putting in back here during the Dust Bowl days. There's a lot of those shelter belts still up. Matter of fact, the first one ever put in, and I believe I read that sign right, it's down there just on Highway 34 from Willow to, or 183, whichever you want to call it then, between Willow and the Granite Turnoff is down there, and it's still up and going. I mean, it's deteriorating, but it's still up. There's a lot of crazy stuff goes on with conservation in Oklahoma.
Yes, you know, in conservation, Oklahoma just continues to make great strides, and we saw that even in the last U.S. Ag Census, you know, how much improvements Oklahoma had seen just since the previous ag census. And it's just something that the people here are just truly leaders. They're willing to learn. They're willing to listen. They're willing to try new things. They're willing to share new things. And that'll really take you a long ways.
Yeah, because you get to see every project that the commission, or hear about it at least, that the Conservation Commission is part of in Oklahoma, and they're very active. I've talked to three or four of the conservation directors from each one of the counties in the, since the start of the show a couple months. There's something going on in every one of them. It might be like this dam project out here on Elk Creek, or it might be something to do with the irrigation district down in Jackson County, or Kalita had that deal going on in Dewey County with Jimmy Emmons on, cover crop, how important it is. And you could see the farmers are slowly switching, their ways of, with cover crops and stuff like that, and realizing that, going out there disc and blow sand ain't the best thing in the world to do, but sometimes you got to do it, but put it right back to no-till and get after it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when you talk about cover crops, I mean, when people across the country talk about cover crops, they're listening to a lot of our producers here. I mean, and Jimmy's a great example on that, that they've seen it. I mean, what Jimmy's done with soil health, I mean, he changed his soil type that he had so much success, and that's just amazing. But you also mentioned the conservation districts. That, we have 84 conservation districts that we work with, and they do outstanding jobs. And that's one of the blessings in my life, is I get to work with them, through our newsletter and through different things. And they're doing great work out there, and I really appreciate them, and I really appreciate all they're doing for conservation and to help me.
Right. Yeah, it's super important. And they had that the North Fork Conservation District had that field day here 2-3 weeks ago, just right here on the north side of Elk City with on Jimmy Smith, him and Spencer's deal up there with how they were doing their cover crop and growing cotton. Because them guys, I'm sure there's somebody out there, but I haven't seen them. The cotton they grow on dry land is incredible. So, but they're doing it in a conservative way, and they're using conservation, soil conservation, to make them crops grow like they are. And it comes hand in hand.
Yes, it does. And those are great examples. And then coming up September 11th, I'll just throw this in there, Beaver County, they have a Surviving the Blazes. If you remember, not too long ago, wildfires, and even got their barn out there and stuff. Well, they came back, they came back with an event that's going to talk about how to survive the blazes and things like that, and that just shows the heart of people in Oklahoma, how take a tough situation and look for a better tomorrow. And that says a lot about Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, Kalita was telling us about the Ray fire. They had the fire, yeah, up there in Beaver County in Texas. I mean, both those fires were just, people, if you haven't been to one, you don't have a clue what they're talking about, or you don't get the, you just don't, it's a big fire, that's crazy. But till you see it and see dead cattle and just, yeah, farms and barns and houses burnt down and stuff, it's those two fires right there in the last 5-6 years were incredible. But Kalita was talking about that Ray fire and what they were doing, and it's a big deal, and we got to be prepared.
It is, and you hit it right there. When you hear the personal stories, I remember sitting in a cafe after one of the fires and hearing a rancher talking about, he finally come to the point he had to cut the fence, let the cattle through, and this cow, she got through, and she could hear that calf bawling, and so she turned around, and he started crying. I mean, this is a tough old cowboy here, and you know, he's tearing up, and that shows what they're dealing with. And we are so blessed to have people like that in Oklahoma.
Yep, they really care, and whether it's cattle, farming, or just ranch land, it's incredible, because we went up there 3 or 4 times delivering to that beaver fire, delivering hay up there, and we met some ranchers out on the Kansas-Oklahoma line. They had a dump place out there, and they were out there unloading this and unloading hay, and wow, I still remember those grown men, you know, tears coming out of their eyes because how they appreciated, because they just lost everything. And it's a tough world. But, well, I look forward to seeing you Tuesday after Labor Day. And we're going to have a good day Tuesday.
We are, and I sure appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me on today. I really thank you. This has been an honor.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been an honor for me, too. And you better get to your appointment, because you said you had one right after 1 o'clock. And I'm going to finish up with the Long Ranger on the weather, and our show will be done today.
All right. You have a good day, Jimmy, and thank you all out there.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Well, you've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I had Brian Painter on from the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, and I'll be right back after this.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. I have the Hobart Farm and Garden weather forecast, and thank those guys for doing this for me. And we have, currently we're at Eric, we're 94 degrees, Cheyenne 91, Arnett 92, Bessie 91, Altus 94, and Hollis is 94, and Mangum is 93. So it's pretty warm out there, and we got all kinds of weather in the weather to talk about. Currently 91 degrees here with a heat index at 95, dew point 68, humidity's 47. The wind hadn't got up during my show like it usually does, and I don't know if that's from my mic or what, but it's south now, not southwest, at 12 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 18 miles an hour. High today is 96. High tomorrow is 97 with a 20% chance of rain tomorrow and 20% chance of rain tomorrow night. Saturday, 40% chance of rain during the day. Saturday night, 40% chance also, with a low of 66. So a cold front's coming through. It's going to cool down a little bit. But we got 83 for a high Sunday with a 40% chance of rain. Labor Day holiday. Looks like it's going to be very nice to be out the lake or having a picnic. 87 degrees and be on the golf course. Maybe that'll help too. Tonight, I know where there's going to be a bunch of farmers and ranchers at. They're going to be at the Sayre Country Club over there because there's a little over $2,000 to $2,500 in a pot tonight. It's a little six-week carryover on the Thursday night scramble, and I can count on both hands how many farmers and ranchers will be there tonight. Instead of baling hay like they're supposed to, or raking, or getting ready to, they'll be on the golf course with me. So that'll work out good. One of my one of my questions is asked the most, and I've covered it a couple times, but I finally found a good article that was written that explains it very well. Ivermectin is intended for animals, not for a treatment of COVID-19. What started as a quest to learn about the potential use of ivermectin in treating COVID-19 has spiraled into an alarming trend across multiple states. Thinking it can be used as a substitute for ivermectin intended for humans, many people are flocking to farm supply stores to purchase it that's meant for animals. First, licensed as a veterinarian and product in 1981, the drug is approved for use in preventing heartworm disease in small animals like dogs and for treating certain internal and external parasites in cattle, swine, sheep, goat, and horses. The FDA approved ivermectin for human use to combat a variety of parasite diseases, both internal and external, in 1996. Well, this gentleman, Ivan Brostein, who is a member of the AAPCC Board of Directors, says they cannot say with accuracy how the concept of using ivermectin to treat COVID-19 started. Many believe a research paper out of Australia may have been the glimmer of hope people were looking for during the pandemic, setting off the ivermectin craze. Released in April of 2020, the FDA-approved drug ivermectin inhibits the replication of SARS-CoV-2 in vitro. Documents how the virus that causes COVID-19 responded to ivermectin when exposed in a dish. Because it was not given to people or animals, additional testing was needed to determine whether ivermectin might be safe or effective in preventing or treating COVID-19. Yet, it didn't stop the idea from lighting up social media. There is still a lot we don't know about how effective a treatment ivermectin really is for COVID-19, says Soren Roden, an Auburn University Associate Professor of Animal Sciences. Specifically, they have not been proven safe for people for use by people through clinical drug trials. What we do know, he adds, is the concentration of ivermectin in these products or some of the inactive ingredients used for animal formulations may not be safe for the human use. From January 2019 to August 2019, the American Association of Poison Control Centers that recorded 402 cases of human exposure to ivermectin across the United States. The following year, there was a slight increase for the same time frame, with 435 cases being reported. In 2021, though, the center seen a sharp spike, with the figure jumping to 1,125 cases. Cases began increasing in July of 2021. We assume this is COVID-19 related. People are purchasing various high concentrated animal ivermectin drug formulations such as pour-on, injectable, paste, and drench intended for horses, cattle, and sheep. The rise also triggered multiple animations from the federal agencies and state health officials alike. You are not a horse. You're not a cow. Seriously, you all, stop it, tweeted the FDA on August 21. The Alabama Poison Information Center, children of Alabama have fielded more than 24 ivermectin exposure calls in recent months. Most of them calls were related to COVID-19. The Arkansas Poison and Drug Information Center said it received 24 ivermectin calls recently. Of those 24 cases, 23 are individuals taking a veterinary product as a treatment for COVID-19. The center's director, while the number might not seem like a lot, the combined total, even though we cover the entire state, no one is required to give us a call, he said. So anyway, it was crazy. The center uses what it calls passive surveillance, a system which reports received from hospital, clinics, or other sources. As the department lead in the farm for Tyson's German name, says he can usually tell when somebody is trying to purchase ivermectin for personal use. It's pretty clear by the way they talk about the product and the questions they ask. The Ames, Iowa location, and we're talking about Tractor Supply here, location has seen a handful of customers try to buy ivermectin recently. The most requested item, an ivermectin oral paste used to treat worms in the horses. The store also sells an injectable liquid as well as a drench, which is like the paste put in a liquid form. I did have one customer try to buy an injectable because we were out of paste. I told him definitely not. To date, they have turned away 7 customers in one store. So there you go. In other words, if you're doing it, you probably ought to stop, or if you're not doing it, don't start now. But there's a the gentleman that was on here last week with me, Dr. Brumwart from Clinton, you know, he says, do not do it. It's meant for animals, and even if you take your dosage down, it's not good. I don't think it was him, but I did read somewhere where if you already have blood pressure problems, especially low blood pressure problems, you're going to get in trouble taking Ivermax. So you guys just keep that in mind when you're doing this. If you do it, just don't do it. Yesterday, the sale at Hobart Stockyard was pretty good. Rex sent me this deal here. The steers that weigh in anywhere from 3 to 399 with a 346-pound average was bringing up to $1.96. 500-pound steers, 5 to 599 weights. Average weight was 568, and they were bringing up to $1.63. 700 to 799 steers, average weight was 728, and they were bringing up to $1.50. On the heifer side, they had some 4 to 499 weight heifers with the average weight of 458. It was bringing up to $1.56. 600 pounds, 600 to 699 with the average weight of 631 was bringing up to $1.30. And that was the high end of that deal. And then we got some cows that were weighing over 1,000 that was bringing up to $79 per hundred weight. We had some pairs that were high end was bringing $16.50, average was $14.50. Then we have bulls brought up to 95 cents a pound. So it looks like the market was really good down in there. And I hope you guys enjoyed today. And I want you to have a great day. And God bless. You're listening to Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.